Welcome. In 2012, New York City launched the first social impact bond in the United States. It focuses on reducing recidivism for adolescent men jailed at Rikers Island. Under the social impact bond model, which originated in the UK, investors provide upfront capital for social services, particularly prevention services that have upfront costs but hopefully improve outcomes and save taxpayer dollars later. Importantly, with social impact bonds, government pays only when measurable results are achieved. Although the concept uses the phrase bond, it's actually a loan that's involved. In New York City's case, for example, it's an almost $10 million loan by the investment firm Goldman Sachs. Today, the use of social impact bonds, also referred to as pay-for-success models, is being considered in a growing number of states and localities across the nation, as well as at the federal level. To learn more about New York City's efforts, we're joined by Linda Gibbs, the Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services under Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Linda, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be with you.
Before we dive into the specifics of the social impact bond for Rikers Island, start us off more broadly by telling us why you think the social impact bond approach can be useful and why you think it's gained so much interest from policymakers around the country in the last few years.
Sure. New York City is in the same position of many state and local governments nationally. Local governments are strapped for resources. The financial pressures on the cities are tremendous, and the ability to try new things is constrained by the fact that we're struggling just to afford the services that we already have in place. And many times those services are highly inefficient, but you're in a terrible situation because all your dollars are tied up in these services that are taking care of these poor outcomes. And so the social impact bond concept, I think, has really caught fire because people are looking for ways to bring new resources in order to fuel innovation and to generate the opportunities to try new things in ways that local governments can't now just because of the fiscal pressures that they're facing.
I gave a very quick overview of what social impact bonds are in the introduction, and a note to listeners that they do take some time and effort to really understand if you're new to this. Linda, how do you explain the concept of social impact bonds?
Sure. Well, the basic idea is that you want to bring in new resources to help with a preventive intervention that's going to improve social outcomes. By improving those outcomes, you free up dollars that are tied up in high-end, usually institutional, residential-type settings, very high-cost work where the government's money is all tied up. And through this preventive intervention with new resources from private investors, you can improve the outcomes, reduce the government costs, and then pay back the investors with the dollars that you've saved.
Linda, tell us next about the social impact bond for Rikers Island Jail.
Sure. So here in New York City, what we're starting with, our first social impact bond, is a project that we have going on within our city Department of Corrections. We house about 12,000 individuals who are primarily awaiting trial, but it includes individuals who are serving sentences of less than a year. Within that population, there's an adolescent group. These are 16, 17, and 18-year-olds who are housed separately within our Rikers Island complex. And what our intervention is a form of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is essentially helping young people to think through their behaviors, the consequences of their behaviors, and their motivations, and have them position themselves that when they leave Rikers, that they'll act more responsibly, that they'll reduce the chances that they will reoffend and become reincarcerated, and through the reduction in reincarceration, we'll see a savings of fewer jail beds needed on Rikers to house adolescents. You know, it's an evidence-based initiative so that there is a strong evidence nationally and internationally around how this form of cognitive behavioral therapy can help improve decision-making. And a number of studies have shown anywhere from, 15 to 40% reduction in reincarceration. And so the gamble that we're taking here is that by bringing this type of intervention onto Rikers Island in an institutional setting and having the young people participate in this while they're incarcerated, that will produce the same improvements in their behavior. If you think about the public interest in this, the ultimate goal is to improve these young people's lives, to get them out of the sort of the cycle of incarceration and long-term unemployment and poverty that comes out of that. We're trying to really, you know, take them from that one wrong step that they took in their life and get them back on the right path. In the course of doing that, we'll also see a drop in the number of young people who are in jail, and we save the extraordinarily high cost that taxpayers pay of incarcerating individuals.
I'll put a link on the blog to a diagram that shows the various partner organizations and the relationship between them in terms of New York City's social impact bond, so I encourage listeners to look at that. Linda, on that topic, tell us about the various partners involved.
So Goldman is the investor. The Goldman dollars are going to MDRC, which is our intermediary. It's a nonprofit research and evaluation organization. That organization has selected two nonprofit organizations that are providing the services on Rikers Island. And so the Goldman Sachs investment through MDRC goes to those nonprofits to provide this cognitive behavioral therapy to the young men on Rikers Island. The contract with the Department of Corrections then in turn back to MDRC says if we achieve the drop in reincarceration, we will pay you, MDRC, your investment back plus that income, and then MDRC in turn will pay back its debt to Goldman, all based on the improvement in the outcomes. The tracking of those outcomes is based on the administrative data and some evaluation to determine whether or not there are any extraneous factors that are causing the drop in reincarceration, that it's not because of, you know, some court change or some policing change, but in fact it's because of this intervention. And that evaluation is being done by the Vera Institute of Justice.
On that last point about having an evaluator involved, that's because success here is being judged not just by a decline in the recidivism rate, but a decline in recidivism that's attributable to this cognitive behavioral therapy intervention.
In other social impact bonds, you may not need that. It may be that the administrative data is sufficient to demonstrate success. In this case, what we need to do is to compare the drop in reincarceration for our group that receives this service compared to a similar group that went through Rikers over the past 5 years, so that we need to measure it against the recent experience of young people who are similarly situated. So we've brought in the Vera Institute of Justice so that all the parties can feel certain that the intervention produces the results that we're seeing.
So a final issue, tell us about some of the financial details involved. For example, how much does reincarceration among this group of inmates need to drop for investors to at least break even?
In our case, break even is about a 10% reduction in reincarceration, and the investors will make income on their investment up to a 20% reduction in incarceration. In the case of this initiative, the investor is Goldman Sachs, and they've invested $9.6 million over the 4 years of the initiative. The Bloomberg Philanthropies has provided a surety against that investment. And so to the extent that the initiative fails, Goldman will draw against a sort of a security fund that's been created by Bloomberg Philanthropies. So the most that Goldman stands to lose in this initiative is about $2.5 million. On the flip side of that, for that $9.6 million in investment, if they do see the success of the 20% reduction in incarceration, they stand to gain about $2 million. And so this is a private sector investment that is being done at risk, so that if it fails, they won't make any money. In fact, they'll lose about $2.5 million. If it breaks even, it breaks even. Everybody goes home happy, and the program will be good enough in the city's eyes to continue, because break even is great when you're achieving better outcomes. And if it does better than break even, then Goldman will make a income on its investment, and the dollars that are saved are sufficient to continue the program and continue to produce the good outcomes.
We'll end the interview here, but the conversation will continue. I'm going to ask Linda about New York City's broader efforts to learn and do what works in social policy, and I'll post her answer to the blog. But for now, Linda Gibbs, Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services, thank you for shedding light on a very innovative approach to funding preventive services that has implications for cities around the nation.
Hey, it's my pleasure.